Good evening. The scripture I'd like to start reading is in Psalm 107. So you got a Bible with you? Psalm 107, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands from the east and the west and north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region, that they could not find any inhabited city. They were hungry, thirsty, their souls fainted within them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go into an inhabited city. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the Son of Man. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they have rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High God. Therefore he has humbled their hearts with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of man. For he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron asunder." Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that we can give thanks because you have redeemed us, that we walked in a very terrible place, Lord, and there was nothing. We were thirsty, we were hungry, we were abandoned, we were rejected, we were despised, we were hated. And Father, you've come and brought us out of our misery. As we've cried upon your name, as we've called upon the name of the Lord, you have come to our help and lifted us out of that darkness. You have shattered the chains that have bound us. And Father, you have brought goodness that we could actually rejoice and say it's good to be in the house of the Lord, that we have been blessed and brought into a place of abundance in you. And I pray that you'd help me share, Lord, and I pray that you'd help me to bring forth the truth of how we live and what environment we live in, and that there is victory and authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to move this dirty, great, big pulpit. What was very fascinating for me is that when I became a Christian, I suddenly realized that the whole world lied in the power of evil. Prior to that, I had a fairly good idea that the world was fairly sick and quite demonic, but I had no concept of what really rules in this earth. Ever read 1 John 1:5? Let's just have a look. Well, let's read through the end of that 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read a different verse. Verse 18, "For we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps himself from the evil one, and the evil one doesn't touch him. But we know that we're of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So I came very quickly into revelation that the entire world lies in the power of Satan. That make a little bit of sense? We have so many people come along and say, "Well, why is there so much evil? Why would God let this happen? Why would that happen? Why on earth are we having so much trouble?" But I had very, very quick revelation after this experience of what was really happening in the spiritual world. For those who have heard my testimony, how many have heard my testimony? Hopefully all of you have heard it. Okay, I'm not going to redo it. If you want, there's a video back there. You're welcome to look at it. But I had a supernatural encounter with the glory of God, with the love of God, and with the radiance and splendor of God. When I stood in his presence, I realized that there was no darkness, no evil, nothing but light. There was an amazing separation between darkness and light in the presence of God. So there were two kingdoms. There was a passageway between the two kingdoms, which Jesus says, narrow is the way that leads into that kingdom of light. Few find it. Most find the broad way into destruction or the highway to hell. I found myself being drawn through the darkness into light. When I stood in the presence of God, his light was transferred into me. His radiance, his love, his peace, you know what I mean? His goodness, his holiness totally filled me. As that presence came into me, I did not want to leave. I was very happy to in some ways be dead. I was very excited that I had somehow made it into heaven, and that I stood in the presence of a loving Saviour who accepted me just as I was. He knew that all my sins, but he had forgiven all of them. Through a deathbed prayer, he had forgiven everything. So I stood without sin in the presence of the glory of God. Now that is something that words cannot describe, the experience of that, or the sense of fulfillment and peace in that. As this took place, of course, I was then instantly put back into my physical body because I chose to come back for my mother primarily, to tell her that what she believed in was real. I'm now lying in a hospital, having God's healing power go through me. I am completely healed. I walk out of the hospital, and as I walk out of the hospital, the fisherman who sees me, Simon the Creole, a Rastafarian who's involved in voodoo, he sees me, and what happens, he runs from me because I didn't realize, but he was seeing light coming out of me. There was something that he could see which scared him because I was in a physical form, but because I'd just been in the radiance of God, something obviously was coming out of my spirit and affecting my body. Ever read in Exodus, I think it's 34, Moses came into the presence of God, and the light of the radiance of God's glory had so imparted into Moses' spirit that it started to shine upon his face. And when people looked, they saw the glory of God shining out of a human person's face. Have you ever seen that? I have. It's amazing to see people who are standing in the glory of God and they are radiating the light of the presence of God. I mean, you just stand amazed and just go, look at that. I can often look in a meeting and see people who have been in the presence of God's glory. You can actually look and see who has the anointing presence of God upon them. You can look often through churches and say, you have been in the presence of God's glory. The rest of you, you've still got something to look forward to. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, a lot of the church isn't interested in entering the glory of God. You know what I mean? They're quite comfortable in their whatever they're doing in their Christian walk. But there is a place that you can enter in. So I'm now carrying this light, not realizing that the whole world lies in the power of evil. I come back into the fishing village. They see the scars on my arm, and the fishermen chase me away thinking I'm a spirit. They do not believe I'm physical. They know that I'm dead five times over. I should not be walking around the village revealing myself to them. So they think I'm a dead, departed spirit coming back to haunt them. Does that make any sense? Well, maybe it doesn't, but it did to them. When men pick up stones and sticks and try and chase you away, you get a little bit taken back. So I went back into my house that I'd been renting, and I asked my friends to try and help me because I'd just come out of hospital. They said, sure, we'll help you. Instead, they mull up a whole bunch of hashish and start having a pipe and having a bong and getting completely stoned off their face. Thank you very much. No dinner for me. I mean, these boys are out on dope. I go to sleep tired, exhausted, having just gone through heaven and hell, and now just had people chase me out of the village because they think I'm a spirit from the dead. I go to sleep in the middle of the night and very, very tired. I wake up and I find that my body is shaking like a pig. It's trembling. I see that very quickly that I am in a cold sweat. Something is absolutely terrifying my physical body, but what's so strange is that deep in my spirit, I'm completely at peace. Does it make any sense? So I'm at peace inside, but something is causing my body to tremble and shiver like a pig, and I'm covered and drenched in cold perspiration. I wake up and roll over underneath my mosquito net, wondering what on earth could possibly be scaring my physical body. I roll over, look through my net, and I see in the window what appears to be a bunch of people standing at the window looking in at me. There's steel bars. I don't know if you've ever been in some countries where they have to put steel bars to stop people from stealing. So they've got bars on the windows. I look through this thick glass window and see what appears to be 6 to 7 people outside my window looking at me. Trouble is my eyes, you know when you wake up you're a little bit dazed, do you remember? As my eyes begin to focus, I see that these eyes have a red glow to them. As I look a bit clearer, I see that instead of the round pupil of a human eye, they have a slit, black slit like a cat or an animal. I then see that I'm looking at not a human being. I'm looking at something in a shadow form. I see a dark shadow form, and I see 6 to 7 sets of eyes looking directly at me through the window. I now realize why my body is shivering and shaking like a pig. As I look at them, these eyes lock onto my eyes, and I feel the intensity of that I am looking at a stack of demons. Now, I had felt demonic presence. How many ever felt evil? Okay? How many seen men go red in their eyes in pub brawls, you know what I mean, and go off their tree and really do some damage to some people? Even small men, when they're demonized, I've watched them throw bounces around like feather, you know what I mean? And it's beyond a natural fight. It's not natural, it's gone into another fight. Well, so I'd experienced evil, I'd felt evil, but I'd never actually seen it focused directly at me. Been around evil, but had never had it locked onto me. As I'm looking at these eyes, I realize that these eyes, these walls and these bars do not stop these beings. As they looked at me, they spoke to me. They said, "Your house, and we are coming home." And I'm going, "You are ours, and we are coming home." How would you like to have that rerun through your brain? So what I'm looking at outside of my body is telling me in the spirit that I am theirs and they are going to come home to dwell in me, as if they already had been there. Does that make any sense? Well, I had never read a Bible, so I had no idea of what it's called. You remember what it's called? Matthew. Let's open it up. I did write it down. Matthew, let's have a look. 12. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 12. 43-45. Now, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. It does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation. Not knowing this, I got 7 demons outside my window saying, "I belong to them and they're coming home." What do you do? When you don't know anything, and no one's taught you anything at church. Well, I'm lying there thinking, turn the light on, you know what I mean? How many know when you got the boogeyman outside, mate, let's hit the lights, you know what I mean? Well, I'm thinking in the natural. I grab my torchlight, you know what I mean? Because I realize that if I continue to lock onto their eyes and they continue to lock onto me, they would, in the fear that's in my heart, enter me. So fear, I realized, was a place that they could almost enter me through your eye gate. Our eyes are the windows of our soul. I realized they could enter me if I, in fear, didn't do something. So I broke the lock. I turned, I grabbed the torchlight, which is my diving torch, like I used to kill mosquitoes that get inside your mosquito net, because somehow the mongrels do it, you know what I mean, and you got to kill them. So I grabbed my torchlight, shone it directly upon the window. Guess what? Nothing there. The trouble is, I am so frightened by what I've just seen, I'm thinking these demons dwell in darkness. My torchlight is only piercing like a sword of light into a certain area. Light doesn't fill the room. Have they dived into another corner of the room where there's darkness? Do you understand? I'm thinking, mate, I'm thinking on the bed. And I'm thinking, I've got to get out of this bed, out of this mosquito net, get to a wall and turn a light on and flood this room full of light. And I have got 7 demons who are able to move in darkness, and I'm walking in the midst of this. I quietly get out of the bed. I'm shining the torchlight all over the room. You ever seen the Jedi sword? You know what I mean? Well, I'm going to shine this thing all over the room. I have no idea what power they've got. I've got no idea what authority or anything I've got. So I stand up, and as I walk, I do this. It seems bizarre, but I was actually doing this with a light, physical light. Because when you shine a light into a place and they disappear, how many know that you actually think, well, that does work? I get to the light switch, I turn it on, I take two steps, my legs begin to shake, my whole body begins to tremble, and I fall on the ground 2 inches away from snapping mentally and going into cuckoo land. As I'm sitting in a mess on the ground, wondering what on earth I'm doing, I've got light now in a room, I'm sitting in a crumpled heap on the ground with seven demons outside me, outside their house, trying to enter me, and I'm thinking, what on earth has happened? Why have I got the host of hell trying to attack me? What on earth has happened to me for this to have taken place? What's gone on? Well, I have God relive my experience for the last 24 hours. I literally go second by second, thought by thought. How many know if it's fresh? You can. So I rerun my testimony in my mind. I rerun it. As I rerun the entire testimony until the point I'm now sitting on the floor, holding the torch like shaking like a leaf, and I'm thinking, well, whatever took place last night has directly affected me here. Did I just see God? Did I just come into the radiance and glory of God? Why are demons trying to attack me? What have I seen? What's happened to me? I hear the voice go, speak to me. This voice said, son, the Lord's Prayer saved your life. Pray it again. As I heard that audible voice, I thought, yes, of all the things that I did, the key thing that I did from my heart that was proactive was the Lord's Prayer. I thought, but I can't remember it. I lay there and said, God, help me remember the prayer. Next minute, words come in front of my eyes, deliver us from evil. How many know that's in the Lord's Prayer? I'm thinking, that's a good bit of prayer, isn't it? Deliver us from evil. I'm thinking, well, evil, I got it outside my window. God, deliver me from the evil that is trying to enter me. I then pray the entire Lord's Prayer. As I finish it, you know what God says? Turn the lights out and go to sleep now, son. My response? Easy for you to say. You're up there. I'm down here. I've got a flipping pack of demons outside my window. It's exactly what I said. I said, yeah, sure, turn the lights out. Guess what? God said nothing more. I sat there for the next quarter of an hour thinking through options. I couldn't get any other option. I thought, if I don't turn the lights out, I'm a 26-year-old man. If I don't get victory tonight, this boy's going to sleep in fear of darkness the rest of his life. He's going to live with a light on. How many know there are people out there that will not sleep without a light on at night? I'm thinking, that's nuts. I thought to myself, well, what I'll do is I'll turn the light off and sit here with my torchlight, and if they come back, I'll turn it on. Okay, seems sound to me. I sat there and waited. Sat there for half an hour, started getting cold. Believe it or not, I'd got used to the tropics. I'm sitting here thinking, well, you're nuts. If you believe the power of that prayer has any effect, then you should just go to sleep. So I turned the lights off, jumped into bed, slept like a baby. Woke up the next day, walked into the kitchen. I saw my friends talking. As I'm hearing them talking, I realized that they are talking with their mouth, but I'm actually hearing the conversation of their heart. I'm actually looking at them. I'm hearing the mouth speak, but I actually know what they're actually thinking in their heart towards each other. As I'm looking at that, one of them turns to me and starts talking to me. The trouble is I actually, for the first time, see behind the masquerade, I start seeing the heart of that person and what they think of me, really. And it's my house. I'm renting the rooms to them. As I'm looking at that, I'm getting very, very upset in my spirit because of what I'm seeing in the person's heart. As I'm doing this, I'm saying, God, what's happening? He speaks to me as I'm watching this. He said, you are seeing people in a new light. I thought, well, I didn't exactly like them in the first light. Now I actually see what they're really like. I don't really like people. Let me know that that's a problem. So I walked away. I went down to my bedroom. They got stoned again on drugs. You know what I mean? I go to sleep, middle of the night, I wake up with a fright, my body's shaking like a leaf, beads of perspiration, this time it's trembling physically. As I'm thinking, last night, red glowing eyes. I turn my head to the right, here's my mosquito net, here are the seven demons standing over my bed, looking straight at me. They are this far away from my face. They have walked straight through brick walls, straight through concrete, straight through bars. They are now standing right outside my body, looking at me, trying to enter me. How many know that greater is He within us than any demon host in hell? How many know I didn't know any of this? I didn't have a flipping clue. My first thought, last night, torchlight got rid of them. I grab my torchlight, shine it straight towards the net. Guess what? Nothing there. But I know that then I'm thinking, they've gone under the bed. You wait till it's you. I'm thinking, do I put my hand outside, get their powder, grab my hand, rip the heart, what power have they got? I have no idea what physical power they have over human beings. I do not know what they can do to me. I am seeing them, their intent is evil, and I have no comprehension what I can do. So I shine the torchlight under the bed, jump out, and this time I'm doing this quickly, you know what I mean? Well, whoa, 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 whoa. You've seen Matrix related, I mean, I'm flipping doing it, mate. I'm doing it. If I had flipping nunchuckers, I'd have been doing it too, if they worked. Guess what? Nunchuckers ain't going to help one iota against a bunch of demons. So then don't even waste your time with martial arts. You're blown in the breeze. They've actually got you demonized being involved in it. So you know what I mean? And you don't even know it. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. We have spiritual weapons of warfare. Well, I don't realize I've got any. The only one I've got is God speaking to me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the voice of God. The only battle I've got is actually hearing God tell me what to do. And so far, what He's told me to do the night before was to pray. And there's power in the Lord's Prayer. There's power in prayer. I get to the lights, turn it on, nearly snap again. God reruns my entire testimony, burns it. All I can say, people say, how do you remember your testimony? I'll tell you what, I had it burnt into my brain. I had it seared. I had it absolutely embedded into my mind and spirit as God helped me relive the experience. Night number two, welcome to planet Earth. God says, pray, go to sleep. I pray, go to sleep. Next night woke up and here is a young girl, this is the third night, planet Earth, here's a young girl outside that I'd made moves on. How many know if you make moves on people sexually, your sin will find you out? One person. Well, I suddenly had a girl, a Creole girl, that I'd basically gone, yes, you're the lady, you know what I mean? You're my woman. Guess what? This dear girl's now knocking on my window, middle of the night, saying, I haven't seen you for the last few nights, what's happened to you? Our stud, you know what I mean? Hello, this is the real stuff. I've got this woman knocking. The only trouble is, this girl is now, unbeknown to me, speaking word-perfect English. She's Creole. She doesn't speak perfect English. She speaks pidgin English. She speaks Creole. This girl speaking, I didn't click. I'm in the middle of the night. She said, Ian, I want to talk to you. Could you please come around? I want to talk to you. And I'm thinking, it's the middle of the night. Come back tomorrow. She says, no, it's very important. It's very urgent. I've got to talk to you now. Could you please come and open the door and let me in? I want to have a talk. So I'm half asleep, wandering down hallway, come to the back door. She said, I'll come around the back door. I open the steel door. As I open it up, this girl grabs the door with one hand. As I see her grab the door, I look into her eyes, and guess what I see? The demons, red glowing eyes. I hear a girl who does change, her voice changes into a masculine voice, and said, you are coming with us tonight. Well, I'm standing here with a girl who's now holding the door. I'm quite a strong man, because, you know what I mean? I've got my left hand, I am unable to move that door. I can't budge it. I knew if I grabbed both hands, I could not physically close that door. This girl, just with her hand holding the door, had more power than anything I had. And what was in her was literally looking straight at me, and she was telling me that I am coming with them tonight. And I'm thinking, when I see you, where is the us? As I'm standing there, there's volcanic rock on this island, and I can hear something or somebody creeping along the volcanic rock along the side of the house towards the doorway. As I'm hearing this, I'm thinking, well, that's the us. And these are men. These are not demons. I've now got these demons in men. One of them's in this woman, and they're telling me that I'm going with them tonight. I went, in my heart, God. It's about the best thing I could do. You know what he said? He showed me a vision. He said, son, if you go with them tonight, they will stone you to death. You will be killed. I'm standing here hearing us coming up to the side of the door with a crack in the steel door. I know any moment now that door's going to fling open. I'm going to have men, whoever's there, drag me out with these volcanic rocks, stone me to death right there outside the house. I'm going, God, help me. You with me? It's the best I could do in the panic that I was in. As I'm doing that, I suddenly find my hand lifting up, my finger pointing, and out of my mouth came, in Jesus' name. Oh, and that used to be a curse word, a swear word, very often, every day. As I spoke out in Jesus' name, an invisible fist seemed to hit this girl in the chest, pick her up, and throw her 5 to 10 feet backwards through the air onto the ground. It's as though she'd been hit with an invisible force that had smashed her in the chest, and so much power had actually broken her off the door and thrown her flying back onto the ground. Now, when you're watching this and seeing this happen, this is like Freddy on Elm Street stuff, you know what I mean? I hate horror. I'm watching something absolutely frightening taking place in front of me as though we've just had an encounter with a demonic. As I watch this woman hit the deck, I watch her begin to recoil like a snake on the ground. I watch her body literally starting to coil, and I realize that if I don't hurry up and do something like close the door, this girl's going to throw her physical body through the air at me and get back to where she was a minute ago. It's almost as though the spirit in her, the demon in her, had been taken off guard by this complete ignorant heathen who had now just seen the light. Suddenly he's using the name of Jesus, and somehow that demon's realizing, I don't really have a flipping clue what's just going on. I watched the girl's eye, and the demon in it looked at me and said, I will kill you. And I watched that. That's what it spoke to me as I'm watching this girl coming through the air back towards me. And I'm going, no, you won't. Woof. I mean, you can be stroppy too, you know what I mean? I'm fighting for my life. I close the steel door, lock it. I move back from the door up against the wall, expecting a meat axe to come through it. That's the intensity of the evil, of the dementia, of the spirit realm that desire to kill me. How many know by this stage I'm a little bit afraid to go out of the house? I have one night to go on the island. I have planned a man to come, his name's Raj, an Indian friend of mine, to come with his taxi in the early hours of the next morning to take me secretly to the airport. I was leaving that town in the middle of the night, basically 6 a.m. I'm out of there, mate. I'm out of there, Jack. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust human beings one bit. I don't trust everyone seems to be demonized around me, so, and everything seems to be wanting to kill me. So I'm thinking, I don't trust zip. I'm going to lie and deceive as much as I can to basically tell nobody my plans. My plan is out of this community. And so this is my plan I thought up. Tell them we're going on a surfing safari. I'm taking them to a special spot. Get them to organize the cab. Get the thing sorted, you know what I mean? Come here at 5:36 a.m. We're out of here. We're gone. Dump the boys, you know what I mean? The New Zealand Australian guy who was staying with me that I felt was reasonably safe, you know what I mean? Dump them with a taxi. I'm in the airport, I'm gone, I'm out of here, Jack. 3:00 a.m. Pop, 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 on the window. I open my eyes, look over, here's the young girl with the red glowing eyes from last night, you know what I mean? Speaking to me, saying, come outside, I want to talk to you. I'm thinking, yeah, flipping. You know what I mean? So I'm just thinking, you can take a hike, lady. I'm just thinking, lying here, you ain't coming to steel bars, it's all sorted, you know what I mean? And I'm lying there thinking, I'm safe, you know what I mean? I ain't coming through that place. This is a concrete bunker. It's built for hurricanes, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, well, wasting your time, dear. But then I had a feeling, did I close the window, the top window, because it got so hot, because I'd locked myself in, you know what I mean, during the day. I remember opening the window in the afternoon to try and get a breeze and falling asleep, and I'm wondering whether I'd actually shut the little, you know what I mean, this kind of window. Well, I roll over to my horror to find that I hadn't. Next minute, I'm seeing a dirty grey big arm, and certainly not a girl's arm, coming in the window. And I'm seeing the latch is way down here. I'm thinking, no way they can open the main latch. You know what I mean? So next minute, this hand flicks the main latch, opens the plate glass type window. But we've still got steel bars, remember? So I'm thinking, I'm safe. Next minute, I see a spear come through the window. I see the spear inching its way because they still think I'm asleep. They don't realise that I'm actually watching all this going on. I'm watching a wooden spear with a nice big steel spear head on it, moving, edging slowly across the room from the barred window towards my bed to basically punch right through my body and kill me and stick me like a pig while I'm asleep. Well, I'm watching this spear coming towards me. How many know that you get a little bit afraid? Well, I'm lying here thinking to myself, I'm getting locked up with fear. I can't see any way out. I'm saying, God, he said, best form of defense is attack. I'm going, what with? I'm caught under a mosquito net with a spear coming straight at my body. It's halfway across the room, and I've got demon-possessed people bringing it. He said, your torch. I thought, torch? And I thought, yeah, there's something about light that seems to dispel evil. So I grabbed my torch. As I grabbed it, I slowly pulled the mosquito net up because I used to tuck it in. I don't know if you've ever been in the tropics, but you tuck them in under your mattress because those mongrel mosquitoes can somehow get up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you tuck them in, mate. You tuck yourself in. You say, you don't bite me. You lean your arm up against it, they'll nail you, you know what I mean? They seem to like the different blood, you know what I mean? The white boys seem to be like a blood bank to them. So I'm watching the spear coming in, I'm pulling the net up, and I'm thinking torchlight. So I rip the net up, turn the torchlight in. This is a four, six battery, high beamed diving torch. It's like a spotlight. I shine it straight at his eyes. I scream because I just need a little bit of courage, you know what I mean? I'm going, rah! You know what I mean? And I charge towards the window. As my torchlight hits this boy's eyes, I see full-on red demons, full glowing, mate. And they went, ah! Like that, I could hear them. They hated the light, physical light, going straight into their eyes. Just couldn't stand it. And we know the enemy works in powers of darkness. Most deeds of evil are done in darkness. Most sick, demonic stuff is done in the total cover of dark. I watch this man go, ah! That gives me an opportunity to grab the spear. Now, if you've ever been getting lobster, you realize the way to break a hold is to actually push it forward and then pull it back. You do a jerk on it. So I grabbed the spear, jerked it out of his hand, got control of it, threw it straight past his head. I got three demonized Creole men. Plus the girl. And I'm shining a torch on them. You ever had a stone in your hand when a pack of dogs ever come at you? You ever had a pack of dogs come up at you and they're wanting to savage you? And you can pick up a stone and they'll back off. They'll cower back. But if you turn, they'll rip you. You don't take your eyes off them. You've got to make sure you push them back. Go to Asia, you'll find out. There's plenty of packs of dogs. You'd love to shoot a lot of them because they look so bad. So I watch these people cower back like dogs, like animals, as though I had something in my hand which was light that was literally powerful enough to push them back, but I knew it wouldn't keep them away. All it would do was drive them back. How many know I didn't sleep that night? I had my surfboard, my backpack, 5:30, no taxi, no Raj. 6 o'clock, no Raj. I'm thinking, what's going on? What's happening here? I talked to my New Zealand friends who are up and said, they said, oh, we're going to have a surf out here. We'll maybe go another day. I'm thinking, no. So go and check the village and find out what's happened to Raj. Where's the taxi? Guy comes back half an hour later. He said, mate, there's something really weird going on in the village. Someone's gone and stuck steel rebar rods right through Raj's radiator core. Shoved them straight through his radiator core. He said, yeah, it looks like someone's taken them out of a building site and just shoved steel rods straight through the radiator. How many know you don't drive a car and someone stuck rebar rods through your radiator? He said, it's stuffed. People are freaked out. Raj has got no enemies. Why would someone sabotage his taxi? It's the only taxi in town. He said, well, mate, we're not going anywhere. I said, yes, we are. I need to get out of here. He said, what's going on? He said, look, I can't tell you, but I need to leave the village now. I don't want you to talk to anyone. I talked to the Kiwi, the New Zealand guy. His name was, my brain's gone dead. Forgotten. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I want you to go to Cutford-Bond and want you to get this guy and get his taxi, and I want you to bring him down here. I don't want you to tell him what's going on. I want you to pay him. Here's the $50. We'll hire him for the day. You bring this guy down. You know what I mean? So next minute, an hour or so later, he comes back. Here's the Austin Cambridge outside with the roof racks. I got my Indian mate from Cutrabon, who used to take us on taxi trips down surfing to Suliak. He's freaking out of his skull. He's sweating like a pig. As they came through the village, my New Zealand friend's telling me as he's talking to me at the door, there's a whole bunch of Creoles with rocks and stones and cursing them and telling them to get out of the village. And he said, Raj doesn't want to take us. He wants to give the money back. He doesn't want to take you anywhere. He wants to go back to Cutthramore. I'm going, no. I said, what are you doing talking to me? I said, you run back to that car. I said, if you need to be, you rip Raj out of the seat, take his keys. I'm not, you don't let this guy leave. The Australian guy who was a Bass Strait oil rigger, his name was Paul, we call him Gnome, huge man. He looked at me and he said, what's going on? You know what I mean? Because he's obviously used to a fair few things in the oil rigs. He's looking at me and going, what's going on? Real Australia, I mean, what's a fight? And I said, mate, they're after my life. He said, have they got guns? I said, I don't know, mate. He said, what are you doing? Is this drugs? What are you into? What are you moving? You know, what are you involved in? He wanted to find out. I said, look, I can't explain it to you. Couldn't say I've got a bunch of demons from hell trying to kill me. You know what I mean? Because I won't turn back the darkness, I've got the pit of hell trying to exterminate me from the planet to shut my testimony up. How many know that would be a little bit spooky? So I basically, they knew I was a drugger. You know what I mean? I dealt in drugs. They knew that I had a lot of drugs in the house. Trouble is, since this experience, I'd thrown all my drugs out. You know what I mean? So... So they were freaking out a little bit. They didn't really know who I was. They knew my reputation from the village because I used to blow all the rusters out with the hashish we brought. You know what I mean? We used to wipe them all out with the best gear we had in town. So now these guys are going, what are you into? How come we've got a whole bunch of the village here basically trying to kill you? He said, what can I do to help you? The Australians do help the New Zealanders, you know what I mean, although we do compete. So there's a bit of the old Anzac kind of help, you know what I mean? These boys, I said, well, you get my boards and my gear on. They're not after you, they're after me. They want to kill me. He said, well, I'll get everything on and then I'll come back for you. Got everything up. As he came back, he said, look, there's a group of them right outside, about 10 of them, Creoles, really angry with sticks and rocks. They really want to kill you, mate. They're outside your house. We're going to have to get to that car. He said, but you get